Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? This is a program where we look at history, not as it was taught to us, but as it was. History leaves footprints, but many times they are covered up, sometimes on purpose, sometimes unintentional. But we're looking at something today to show what this distortion does to our history, to our understanding, to our pride, not only others who view us, and sometimes in a lesser light, because they have not been taught that we have contributed. And we cannot put up a fair argument because we don't know where and what to respond with. And so we end up in kind of a standoff. And that is totally unfair. It's unfair to our ancestors. It's unfair to other people that view us that don't even know their history. And I say that with a degree of acknowledgement because they have not been taught either. As we go further into this session, you'll see that what we have learned paints an unfair picture. We're on a team where everybody contributes, and everybody has contributed. But when you get to the point where you neglect the contributions of some and over-magnify those of others, it's not teams recognize all of their players, all of the good things that they have done. Yeah, they look at those that are bad and from the standpoint of correcting them. What we have yet to do in this country is to have a fair, honest discussion on race. And it starts with what we've learned in our schools. And we find today, and sometimes I feel sorry for these people, who are saying that you cannot teach race in school because little Johnny or Susie may feel uncomfortable. But that is nothing compared to the discomfort that I found when I began to find out that what I had learned, what was pushed on me every day, was wrong, was far from the truth. As an adult, a mature adult, an AARP type of adult, I didn't know most of what I am sharing with you today. I'd heard some because I had some teachers that were interested in it, but it was not a course. Sometimes it was something that would come up in class, but there was nothing that let me know that there was more to what I was being taught than what I was being taught. I didn't know where to look, how to look, or interpret what I was reading at the time. So this is what has happened to so many, many people. We have an unfair position because we were not taught that. I want to tell you that one of the reasons that I am looking at the series of teachings that take place through Amazing Black History and through the discussion that we have on Blog Talk Radio / Crown Talking Drums every Sunday. And that is because as a very mature adult, I went to Coloma, California. And Coloma is the site of Sutter's Mill. This is where gold was discovered in California. It set off a gold rush, and people flocked to the area seeking their riches, seeking the gold. What they don't tell us is that most of those people did not make their trip worthwhile. Most people didn't find the gold that they were looking for. You know who profited most from that? Those people that were selling products to the miners. Levi Strauss and some others grew very, very large, selling materials to people seeking gold. It wasn't just laying on the ground. It required work. And I did not, for the life of me, know that there were any black people involved. I went during September, September 11, 2012, to be exact. And as I was talking with the curator, and I find this a fantastic season, those of you that can do this, I want you to pay attention to the pattern that of what I found. After the kids go back to school, the season drops off dramatically, but the weather often is fantastic. And without the large, long lines, oftentimes you have access to many things. My wife was able to move the controls of the Wright Brothers plane at Kitty Hawk because we were there during a time when we had some accesses that other people did not because of the fact that they weren't crowded. These are people that are knowledgeable. And I walked into the museum. I was impressed. But then for some odd reason, I had a question come up. And I asked the curator, were there any black people here who played a significant role? And I remember emphasizing the word significant because I didn't want to hear about some guy sweeping out the tavern at 3 o'clock in the morning. And what I found just absolutely blew my mind. And it set me off on a different course. And what I found was that not only were there some people there, there was a community there of free black people. And this is before the Civil War. And I found Nancy Monroe Gooch. And I have since been in touch with offspring of her and the people that were there. I know about them before they came. I know about them after people suspected that they left. California took land saying that there were no heirs, and there were. And this is an often repeated story that we find. And one of the reasons that we don't have the wealth that we should have in this country. It's an unfair situation that we have had to long endure. As a kid, television, and there was a certain romanticism about watching cowboys on the plains. They didn't tell us how hard the work was. They didn't tell us a lot of other information that was taking place. When you watch cowboys on TV, in the movies, in the comic books, everywhere that you look, you never see or rarely see, if ever, a black cowboy. And so we begin to think, because we hear everybody is in the South picking cotton, or so we are told. But that's not the truth. It is a fabrication. How does this come about? It comes about because someone else is telling our story. Someone else is telling our story. We're not telling our own story. And sometimes it's very unfortunate because we don't know our story. And that was my case. I did not know it. When I found out about Nancy Monroe Gooch, I found out that her family owned hundreds of acres of land, hundreds of acres of land. They planted orchards, and they were selling fruit wholesale throughout California. And this is at the time when I had absolutely no idea that anybody had traveled west of Mississippi or wherever, we had, it had to include Texas because Texas was one of the Confederated states. Was not a U.S. state. It was a Confederate state. Because we have been told so often that the Civil War was a war between the states. It was a war between two countries. These people had been previously a part of the United States. And they decided to split away. And it started in South Carolina with William Henry Gist. And it spread to 11 states that included Texas. And we sometimes think of Texas as being in the West. But as far as the Confederacy was concerned, it was the South. We had the North. But we also had fighting in other places that we are seldom told about. And when we look at the Civil War, I want to show you the trick that was pulled by the rich against the poor. It was pulled by the rich against the poor. Because this was a preservation of a way of life for rich white people. That's why we went to war. Because they were getting free labor. Free labor. They weren't paying anybody. And they were putting them under the most miserable of conditions. When we talk about slavery, we don't know how horrible it was because they don't tell us how horrible it was. I was listening to a book the other day, and I often recommend books on my post, and I hope that you will take advantage of some of those. You can review them on Amazing Black History because you can click the link and go to Amazon, and you can read a bit of the book, or you can listen to it. And I find that that's one of my favorite ways is listening to the book. I use what's called Audible. And these are books read to you. And I was listening to part of a book the other day as I was exercising at the Regional Wellness Center. And what they were talking about is some of the pain that was inflicted upon the slaves. If you ran away, we know that people could be, also don't know that in many cases what they did was look for ways that they could punish you without leaving the marks of the whip. Not that they had to be overly concerned about it, because there were even laws that said if you were correcting your slave and killed him, you couldn't be charged. That wasn't a murder. It wasn't a manslaughter. It wasn't anything. You were just correcting your property. It's as if that person did not exist. It's as if that was not one of God's creatures. You try doing that to a dog today and see what happens to you. Try it. What we don't hear, because it's held from us, in terms of our history, in terms of our news, in terms of whatever happens. But there was a young lady just before Rodney King that started that entire community to rile up. And what was it? A young lady went into a bodega to buy some orange juice. It cost $1.79. She had $2 in her hand to pay for it. And the shop owner shot her in the back of the head, killing her instantly. She had the money to pay for it. Now, what riled the community up even more than that is that she appeared before a judge who let her off with minimal, had shortly before, just weeks, months ago, ahead of that, sentenced a man to 6 months in prison for kicking a dog. This is what we happen. This is what people don't tell us about. And yet and still we think that the only thing that happened in slavery was that people had to work. And when we see the Wild West. We don't understand the role that we played in the West. We don't see so much of what occurred in the West because we are not privileged to that information. It's not shared with us. And we don't have a network where we can share this information. This is why I do this program, so that we can be aware of that. We find that Texas became a leading cattle-producing state, Texas. But Texas is far from the markets that we had. And many times we had trail drives to move cattle long distances. Now, let me also give you another bit of information. This country has always had a racist past and a racist presence that is built on that racist past. And part of it comes from the fact that we don't explain our history with any degree of detail. Let me, before I move on, let me make one point here. How do we get to a point where we don't teach facts? We get to that point because we have such things as school boards. School boards. Everything is being done to prevent us from voting. We get to the point where we say that our vote doesn't count. It doesn't count if you don't get up and go down there and vote. But look at what happened in Berkeley County, South Carolina, with this last election. The Mothers for Freedom went in and were elected based on just getting elected. And the first thing they did was fire the black superintendent and the black administrators in that system. We have the ability to influence what children are being taught. And this is why we don't teach history, because they don't want to glorify anybody at the sake of talking about the horror that they inflicted upon people. But when I talk about what the rich did to the poor, that civil war that was over protecting their right to own slaves, and don't let anybody tell you it was about states' rights, because Mississippi sued New York because New York would not allow Mississippi people to bring their slaves into the state. That talks about it. You never hear about that. But what we find is that they passed laws in the Confederated States that said, if you own 20 slaves, these are the rich people, because the poor people didn't own slaves, that you could exempt one of your sons from the fighting. And for every 20 slaves that you owned, you could exempt a son from this bloody war. In other words, you poor people go out there and fight for my way of life, them in the same bag that they had put us in. And we, because we don't know this information, should have been banding together so that all of us got a piece of the pie. But that's not the way it worked. And that's why we have so much problems today with black versus white. It's rich versus poor. Those people that can pass the laws that protect them and themselves. And this is what we're subjected to day in and day out. If that wasn't bad enough, by the end of the war, they had jacked that up to the point that for every 15 slaves you owned, you could exempt a son. Now, these are the people that had more to fight for than anybody else. Not saying that it was right, but they exempted themselves from the hardship of having to fight for their way of life. And this is the same thing that happens now. They talk about themselves being self-made people, when what they did was do it on the backs of people that they weren't paying, that they weren't even treating well, and doing it on land that they had taken from somebody without paying for it. And that is our self-made man, made woman. It's not fair. But what I find is that one in every four cowboys, and listen at this, if you were white, you were a ranch hand. If you were black, you were a cowboy, with the emphasis on the boy, because this was a way of showing disrespect to human beings created by God. And this is why the term boy is so offensive, meaning that you will never grow up, that you will never have the rights of privilege of an adult in this country. We're going through now a process where the statue of Roger Taney is being removed from the Capitol. Roger Taney. Taney is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court who wrote the ruling in the Dred Scott decision. The Dred Scott decision is saying black people cannot be citizens and have no rights that a white person is bound to respect. And that person has been honored for 100 years by this country. Something is wrong with this picture, folks. Something is sadly and deadly wrong with this picture. Pick heroes like that. It's finally being removed and is being replaced with that of Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall. A man who did so much, not only for people of color, but for people of America. And this is what we're finding out. I think many white people are afraid of the fact that they will, that they descended from slaves. And this is, again, is a lie. Because only 2% of the whites in this country owned slaves. 2%. And yet and still, we have filled people's heads with nonsense. There are white people out there that should be proud of their ancestors in their fight for equality for all people, whether it was being a participant in the Underground Railroad or whether it was being an abolitionist and all points in between. There are some people out there that have a lot to be proud of, but yet and still we burden them. So let's talk about some of these cowboys. First off, I have a list in the post that I put up there, but I'm not going to take them in order because I want to talk about one in specific. And that is a person by the name of Bass Reeves, B-A-S-S-R-E-E-V-E-S, Bass Reeves. And if you read that post, you'll see some information about him. You will also see a link to a previous post that I put up several years ago about Bass Reeves. Most of us know of Bass Reeves, but not by that name. Not by that name. Bass Reeves was a slave and freed after the Civil War or during the Civil War. Because during the Civil War, his owner took him to war with him on the Confederate side. And during a dispute, it's not totally clear, but they got into a physical fight and Reeves ran away. But part of the time he went to what is Oklahoma, known as Indian Territory. And while there, he learned to live with three or more different tribes. And what happens? That was no man's land. And there was no law in Oklahoma at the time. And what would happen, these desperados, these criminals, and everybody would flock to Oklahoma, excuse me, because there was no law there. But there was on the books that you could go into that area But you had to have a native-speaking person with you. That was your faithful Indian companion. And in this case, we were introduced to Bass Reeves as a white man with a black mask on. And the exploits of Bass Reeves and those of the Lone Ranger, which we were subjected to for years, parallel each other. Bass Reeves made over 3,000 arrests in Oklahoma. He got to the point where he was very smart, and he used disguises, same as the Lone Ranger. He had his Indian companion, although he really didn't need them, because he spoke three of the languages of the what is supposedly the five civilized tribes. What made them civilized? Because we measured them not by native intelligence and ability to survive and thrive, but on a European scale. And that meant that you had to have a written language. Now, the Cherokee were one of those tribes. They reduced their language to writing. They even had a constitution. And yet they were treated no better than anybody else, which was second class at best. This is what happened. When many of the slaves left slavery after the Civil War and even before, because some of them moved to Texas, and cattle were big business, but they were selling for pennies compared to what they could be sold for in faraway markets. And so we have many, many people that worked as cowboys. Many. 25%. 1 in 4 of all the cowboys were black. You ever see one on TV? In the movie? Hear about one? Even when we have one, he's disguised as a white person with a black mask. Doesn't make sense. And it's not true history. But Bass Reeves is that person. His son was accused of murder. And nobody would go after his son. They would go into the office and look for warrants and pick out the easy pickings and go get them. That wasn't the way with Bass Reeves. He said, give me the next bunch, the next batch. And he went and got them. He would get some of the toughest of the tough. He didn't pick the low-hanging fruit. He picked what was there. And he did his job, and he did it well, until he finally retired. And then he became a police officer for 2 years before his health began to decline and he had to retire. But that is a hero, an American hero, a true hero, fictionalized, serialized in American lore. But it's wrong. It is wrong. We need to go back and correct history. But there are people that think that if you present the facts, that you've done something bad, that you've done something wrong. No, I think that they were wrong not to present the correct history in the first place. But the people that are making the decisions as to what's right and what's wrong don't know what's right. They know what they've been taught. And that was the same thing that I was taught, and I'm finding out that that was wrong. W-R-O-N-G with an exclamation point behind it. Wrong. And so we are persisted with that. When I found out about the Monroe Gooch family and what they did, I was absolutely blown away. I began to learn about other people in California in the 1840s. This is before the Civil War, who were doing well. Mary Ellen Pleasant financed John Brown. We don't know the significance of John Brown. John Brown was a white man back in Harpers Ferry, Virginia. And his idea was to take the arms of the United States and give them to slaves so they could free themselves. That operation was financed by Mary Ellen Pleasant in San Francisco. Now, we talk about what's happened. Education was not always put forth for us. We learned, we scrapped, we find people like Frederick Douglass understood the importance of education. And I want you parents, I want you students to listen to this very, very carefully. Because what happened is they didn't want us to be educated. They didn't want us to end what was taking place. Why? So they could take advantage of us. If we were able to express ourselves, we would find that we could do it, and we could convince people that what was happening was wrong. You know, I've looked at language for a long time, and I've used the standard, the European standard of what is good language. And I'm reading a book now, or listening to a book now, and it's called Black Founding Fathers. And I've had my mind blown away yesterday as I was listening to that book, because it talks about what I was taught to make fun of, such as the Gullah and the Geech language. And we find that it was not broken English, but it was African language using English words, and in many cases, a mixture of English and African languages. We find that people of African descent always spoke several languages. Several languages. If you go to Africa, you're going to find that people speak many languages. South Africa as a country has 11 official languages. 11 official languages. America doesn't have an official language. That shows the difference. They respect that. They have children that come into schools. And if there is a certain number, fairly small, they have to teach you in your language. And what they do is they put you with a student that speaks your language in English or some other official language. And you learn. It's an immersion. It's not trying to dilute you. Do you understand that in America, the Native Americans were beaten, punished for using the native language of this country that they lived in, owned, respected? They didn't have the giant forest fires that we have now. Why do we have the forest fires now? Because of our forest management systems. We had a person in the Forest Service said, any fire is going to be put out by 10 o'clock next morning. And this allowed for all this underbrush that we accumulate. Native Americans understood better than we did. But we want to put them down. We want to talk about them. But Bass Reeves, keep that name in your mind because it was significant. It was very, very significant. And played a significant role in our history. Let me talk about John Ware. John Ware was born a slave, and he was born in Georgetown, South Carolina. But after the Civil War, he went to Texas, learned the trade and skills of a cowboy. Now, cowboy was more than somebody that just jumped on a horse and rode alongside the horses. They had to tend and fix and do everything else necessary in order to get them there. And many of these people were highly, highly, respected. But John Ware drove cattle all the way to Canada. And he settled Calgary, Canada. And he was a great influence into the cattle industry in that area and was one of the early performers in the Calgary Stampede. Many of us have heard of the Calgary Stampede. Where his home sits is on what is now called the Ware Creek, named after him. But he did so much for the industry in Canada that he's almost a hero there. And yet and still, he came from my home state, Georgetown, and I never heard of him. I'd never heard of him. You would think with all of the people that they put on TV and the radio and comic books and everything else that we would show up. You know, it hasn't been until fairly recently that we had any black superheroes, any black people depicted in these cartoons that we come through. We have a post on, I believe his last name is Floyd, who was a cartoonist and worked for Disney and Hanna-Barbera and Hanna-Barbera and many others. Did you ever know of a black to do that work? No. Most of us don't know who did the work. But certainly if we knew our history, we would know these things because we would make sure that they were known. So John Ware was instrumental in the Calgary area getting into the cattle business. There were a few around there, but not very many, that were in the business. And so we find, thank you, we find that these are significant people in that business. Let's look at another one. Bozcart was allowed to be the banker for his, for the person because he was on the Goodnight Loving Trail. Most of us don't know about the Goodnight Loving Trail. But he did that, and he was sometimes put in charge of thousands of dollars. Now, this is back in the 1860s. Thousands of dollars. That's a very trustworthy person. We don't hear about him. There was some information that he may have been depicted in Lonesome Dove or one of the other movies. I'm not sure whether I'm getting him confused there or with Nate Love. It's spelled N-A-T, but it's pronounced N-A-T-E, Nate Love. Another famous black cowboy. Why don't we know about this? That would have changed the depiction that many people have had. Not only does it show that we had skills, but it shows that we were trustworthy. We were entrusted with thousands of head of cattle and could have done almost anything with them. Don't even show up on TV to show you how bad TV is. Many of the cowboys, were Hispanic. Do you think they ever show up either? No, they didn't get credit. What about the Chinese? They built the railroads. Even when you look at the picture of Promontory Point, where the two rails, one from the east and one from the west, came together, is depicted as showing almost all white people. That is exactly the opposite of what happened. Most of those railroads were built by Chinese. In my part of Washington State, lower part of Benton County, near the county line of Oregon, there is a tunnel dug through solid basalt that was commonly known as China Tunnel because that's who did the work. What I'm telling you folks is that history is so distorted that everything worthwhile is given credit to those of European extraction. Those things that are negative are placed on others. And it's not fair. It is vastly distorted. There are many cases where we could have made progress if we had allowed people to do things. One of the cowboys, I believe it was either Nate Love or Deadwood Dick, one of the ones, had been very, very important in the Western movement. Them out of business, railroads, because you could move cattle in rail cars easier than you could with cowboys roaming through strange and uncharted territory. They had passed. They knew where they were going. They knew what they were doing. It was hard work, but it was more efficient to put them on a train. And one of these cowboys then took a job as a Pullman porter. And again, that's an occupation that allowed many people to get into a middle class. But it was based on someone else's belief, someone's belief that we were made to serve. We do it, and we do it well. But we were also denied opportunities of land ownership and other things that would gain us wealth. To those of you that are coming along now, understand that narrowing of the wealth gap includes home ownership. Home ownership. We need to look for ways in which we can increase that. Whether we come up with cooperatives and start building homes for each other or what. We need to do something about it. There are business institutions. If you listen to Black Information Network, which I discovered short time ago, thanks to my good friend Marshall James, who hopefully we'll talk with a little bit later. There are black banks that are on the rise. We've had them before. But there are reasons that they have been dogged to almost to the point of extinction. The first bank chartered and run by a female in America, by a female of any race, was Maggie Lena Walker in Richmond, Virginia, a black woman. We have that entrepreneurial gene. When we talk about John Ware, he purchased cattle. He raised cattle. He brought that industry to Calgary. We still have the Calgary Stampede. And he was instrumental in it and performed in it. We have a few cowboys. I became aware, and I used to love watching bull riding. But I believe it was Charlie Sampson. Won the Pendleton Roundup in Oregon, big rodeo, twice, and bull riding. Do we know about it? No. We don't even know about Leon Coffey, most of us, who impressed me personally because he used to perform at the fair in Benton County, and I used to attend. Leon Coffey was a black cowboy. This is the guy that jumps into the barrel and lets the bull do all sorts of things. Well, the cowboy gets hung up. He goes in there and fights off the bull and gets the cowboy to safety. Black man. Very, very famous. But we're not told about him. In fact, I think he may. But I was there one night. And Leon had been injured the previous night, getting a cowboy unhung and to safety. And in the process had his jaw broken and had to be wired. His jaw was wired. That's painful. They didn't expect Leon back. Leon took off out of the hospital and performed that night. That's tough, folks. That's dedication. That's somebody that loves what they are doing. Somebody that can be admired. Somebody that can... Our children, and our children are our very future. Our hands, our faith is in their hands. This shows you that we should all know about some of these people. When it comes to rodeo, we see bulldogging, where the cowboy jumps off his horse, grabs a cow, throws it to the ground, wraps his legs. Bill Pickett, a black cowboy, developed that. It was a little bit different in the beginning because of the way it was practiced in the field. They had bulldogs, and they would grab the steer. The bulldog would grab the bull by the lip, and the steer would go down. Pickett did that himself and developed the sport that we now know as bulldogging. Now, many of these cowboys performed in rodeo, but they found many of the same things that we find today. There was equality on the range. When they were on the range away from towns, they were the same as anybody else. And this is all we have ever been looking for. Not a handout, not welfare. Although there are times when we need it, welfare should not be necessarily the bottom rung of the ladder and nothing but poor people that don't want to work. But when they were on the range, they were equal to anybody else. And that's the way America should be. That's the way the world should be. Everybody should be able to make it or break it on their own. But that's not what happened. Even with the equality that they experienced on the range, sleeping on the ground, being out in the weather, all kinds of weather. You can't, because it's raining, give up your responsibilities as cattle and let them scatter all over the world. This is not what happened. So there's a dedication there. And when we find this, when they went to towns, they were often treated as we were treated, particularly during my youth. There were places that you couldn't go in. There were places that refused your service. There were people that treated you poorly, real bad. This is what we were trying to avoid. All we didn't care how hard the work was. We just wanted to be treated the same as everybody else. The same as everybody else. In February, we're going to look at some of the race riots and some of the other things that took place in this country. And many times they were based strictly on race because we wanted to work and they would pay us less than somebody else, which is not fair. It's not the American way. And we wanted jobs, but we could not get them. There were many unions that would not allow blacks and other people into the unions. And so we find that that disparity has been all along. But when we talk about these black cowboys, let me make mention here because we're not going to run all night. And we've got about 40 minutes left. I don't intend to use all of those. But there are many of you listening to us on your device using the internet link. And that's great. We love you. We hope that you share the link, share the site. But we want to hear from you. And the way to do that is to call in. And you can listen. And the number to call in on is 646-668-8217. I'll give you that number again. It's area code 646, and the number is 668-8217. I do ask that when you call in, if you're on your home phone, that you silence the phone. You can still listen, and that is by hitting star 6. You can unmute by hitting star 6. The reason that you want to mute your phone is we don't hear all of the noise in the background, the train going by, the buses, the trains, and kids in the background, pots and pans rattling, whatever may be going on, the football game in the background. And it's just a courtesy to other people. You can participate when we open the mics, because all you have to do is unmute when the opportunity comes, and keep that number, because that is a number that you can reach us on anytime we're on the air. Not necessarily when we're off the air. On the air, that's how to do it. If you're calling in from your cell phone, you'll see a microphone with a line that goes through it. When you tap that, you're muted, and the same courtesy is extended to all people. And to unmute, you just tap that again. The light goes out, and you are live. But we try to keep the microphones off during the main part of the show to make sure that we don't have any disruptions that are taking place. But we'll open these microphones up. But as we do this, you know, Bill Pickett, these people went to rodeos, sometime traveling for many, many miles, only to be denied the opportunity to participate. We wanted to participate against the best that there was. And sometimes what they did is they had an after show. They didn't want black people to perform. And especially they did not want them to beat white people. That sounds harsh, but that is the reality of it. That's the reality of it. And sometimes it was at night, sometimes it was the next day. And many records would have been set, but they did not allow people to participate based on their thoughts, their desires. But many, many great cowboys were turned away from rodeos. Bill Pickett had his own rodeo, and he did not just put people of color in that rodeo. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for here. Because Pickett, in his rodeo, had some very famous cowboys, and I'm trying to find their name. Will Rogers, Buffalo Bill, Tom Mix, B-Ho Gray, Zach and Lucille Mulhall. These were white performers that he allowed to do it. It was good business. And that's what we do. But when you deny people that opportunity, it's not good. And we face this all along. Some of the greatest flyers in World War II were the Tuskegee Airmen. You think when they came back they would have an opportunity to fly planes? You would think. But somebody made the decision that a white person may not want to fly with a black person as a pilot, even though that person may be the best. That's why we've got a wealth gap, we've got an educational gap, and we can't refute any of this because sometimes we don't even know that it happened, that it existed. We're more aware now. I just listening to a broadcast on NPR, and a young African student has just come out as a chess master. Young man, be 73 of the greatest in his age group to claim the title. Does this sound like someone that comes from inferior stock? No, does not. A lot of what we're hearing is a myth perpetrated starting in the 15th century by Gomez de Zurara, who was publishing information being paid for by Portugal to depict people of color as being these savages, less than intelligent. And it persisted. And that's how you could justify slavery. Oh, they couldn't survive without good old master here. And we hear people say, yeah, I had a good master. You know why they said that? Because if word got out that you said something bad, you could be beaten to death, and it wasn't even against the law because you were correcting your slave. This is the way the law was. We'll have a post sometimes early next year. And legislation to make lynching, which generally involves taking people without a trial and hanging them, torturing them, burning them, shooting them, mutilating them, a federal crime by a black legislator over 100 years ago. This country has seen fit to pass it. And it was not a federal crime. It may be now, but it's taken over 100 years. This is the vestiges of not recognizing our history. This is what happens. When you go to that post, amazingblackhistory.com, and type it into your search bar, you'll find it. Look at today's. Look at the videos. Nate Love was another famous cowboy. And he finally earned the title of Deadwood Dick. He was known as Red River Dick for a while. And when he was in Deadwood, South Dakota, or one of the Dakotas, his shooting skills, his prowess as a cowboy was recognized. And he was given that moniker. And so we see that in so many instances, in this case, we picked out only five. But there are others. There are others. But you wouldn't know it because of the distortion that's taking place. Now imagine for a minute, you didn't know this. It would be very easy for you to go up there and say, history does not need to be changed. You can't even go before a school board and say that it needs to be changed without giving some examples of why. So we were unarmed in the battle of making sure that our children, that all children know the truth. Does this hurt white kids? No, it does not. It sometimes gives them respect for classmates. And what is wrong with that? Answer me. What's wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with it? I don't think there is. If you disagree with me, you have the opportunity by calling 646-668-8217. I'm not looking for an argument any more than anything else. And if you come up with a bunch of vulgar stuff, you will be cut off. You will be. Because this is a decent show. We can talk in an adult manner. We can agree on an adult level, on a mature level. I have friends that I don't agree with on numerous subjects. But that doesn't mean that we can't be civil to each other. Our politics have entered an area now where we can't even be civil with one another. This is why we get nothing done, because we can't even sit down as adults. And these are supposed to be some of our most respected people who can't get together and have a decent conversation. What you do is the dumbest thing in the world. What I do is the smartest thing in the world. Neither of those statements are true, even when it applies to me. Because I learn, and I try to learn every day, and I hope that you will too. This is the purpose. This is the meaning of our discussions that we have, and it allows for that. It allows for that discussion. Why would you write off an entire race of people? I have a very serious question. Is it because you're afraid that you'll be bested at something? And you think that that's ridiculous. But But when we look at laws in the United States of America, in many cases, it was against the law for a black and a white person to compete even in a game of checkers. Even in a game of checkers. Is that because the white person was always going to defeat the black? I don't think so. If that was the case, it just whoop on him. They'd be back there cheering. No, that's not why it was done. That's not why it was done. It was done to avoid embarrassment after all the wolf tickets that you've been selling. Oh, yeah, they can't do anything. Do you realize that at one point, the opinion of most people in America is a black man could never play basketball because he didn't have the ability to think, to dribble down the course and make the court and make a play. He couldn't do both of those because he didn't have the mental ability. Do you understand that in World War II, any member of the military could apply to be a pilot, except if you were black? If you were black, you had to have a college education. And that was based on the assumption that we weren't smart enough to fly a plane unless we had a college education. When we fought with the Tuskegee Airmen, the Red Tails, we never lost a plane that we escorted. Some of us died. Many of us died. But we had the courage and the conviction to stay in there, just the same as these cowboys. Isn't that something that you want to be proud of, to take advantage of? When we talk about many of our heroes, black heroes from World War II, they were members of the 369th, 370th, and 371st. And I know the 369th was short-circuited. Not short-circuited, but let me explain what I'm talking about. All volunteer units had numbers of 200 or less. The 369th was all volunteer, but they did not want them to be mistaken for a white unit. All of the black units had numbers in the 300s and the 600s, and we went that far as to do that. And we went so far as not to let you know about folk heroes such as the ones we're talking about. Bass Reeves, what is wrong with acknowledging a person for the and giving them credit for what they have done? That man needs to be honored, just as John Ware needs to be honored, just as Boss Eckert needs to be honored, Nate Love, Bill Pickett, among others. They weren't the only ones. But we have stunted ourselves to the fact that they don't exist unless they were picking Master's cotton. Picking Master's cotton. Is that all we're good for? That's what you want to say. There are people today that have been denied jobs that are more qualified. If I had a nickel for every time a black person was passed over for supervisor in a job to be given, and that job given to a white person that the black person that wasn't qualified had to train, I'd never have to work a day in my life. It happens. Supposedly the greatest country on the face of the earth, we have a lot that we don't need to be proud of. We have a lot that we don't need to distort. And that's what we've done. And we've done it at our own peril. Because there are people that could be excelling. And when one person excels, it invariably moves to others. And everybody benefits from it. Everybody benefits from it. But there are people that would rather not benefit than give someone else credit. Think about it. think about, is that the type of country that you want to live in? Now, let me make another statement before I open the microphones. When we look at the best football teams, the best basketball teams, who are they? They are those that have played the best, that have earned the right to be there. Same thing here. When I was coming along through school, I started school. Black teachers in South Carolina were paid half what white teachers were paid. They had bigger classes and less resources. That's not a way to run a railroad. I want to impress on all of our students, all of our parents, the purpose of sending a person to school is to obtain an education, which means not only books, but how to behave, how to interact in society. And we sometimes need to let our children battle and suffer the consequences of their own actions. We're not really teaching them anything when we go down every time. Now, I'm not saying let your child be a doormat. No, no, no. Because we see instances where young lady punched another student after enduring endless racial taunting. A straight A student, no disciplinary action, and had told the student, had reported it to the administration. Administration did nothing about it. What I want to tell you is that you may have descended from slave owners. You may have descended from some of the people that I respect. That is in the past. What I am responding to and what I look at is, how are you reacting today? Are you failing to say something because you don't want to be branded something that you're not? Is that what's keeping you from entering the conversation? Is that what's keeping you from standing up? If it is, shame on you. I know what it feels like because I've been in that position before. I didn't want to be that lone ranger. I didn't want to be the only one to stand up. But who gets the glory in the end? Those willing to stand up. I don't care if you came from one of the worst slave owners in the country. Knock it off. Stand on your own feet. Take your own position. I know it takes guts. I know it takes bravery. I know it takes backbone. I know it's sometimes lonely. But do what's right. Do what's right, folks. At this point in time, we're opening the microphones, and I think I hear my friend Mr. Marshall on the line. Marshall, do you have any comments, sir?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. How you doing today? Merry Christmas.
Same to you, my friend. Same to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you and your family and all of your listeners, the people that's listening in. Yes, Mr. Abercrombie, I'm saying the same thing that I've always said. You're such an asset in keeping us aware and letting us be aware of the thing that has gone on. And you said the word just a minute or two ago, and I've been saying this practically not all of my life, but if you see something that's not right, say something about it. Say something. White guy told me one time, said, Marshall, you all not, now you know, we have a tendency of saying it ain't so if the white man didn't say it. But this white guy told me, he said, you all not saying anything make us feel think maybe it's all right. So now we say we're free. We've been free since 1863. And you mean to tell me, yeah, it is 2022, and you still can't say nothing? Are you really free? Are we really free? And I'm just so glad that you are letting us know. And I've heard some things here lately where people are really, really speaking up. My Lord, how they're speaking up about cases that has come up in the past for the last 4 or 5 or 6 years where the police has did black people wrong, and they hid some of the evidence and all, but thank God that the good Lord let it come up where they can find some of this evidence, and people are suing the state, the government, the police department, and everybody else. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just doing what's right. You're speaking up. That's what we need to do.
Right, right.
Yes, sir.
Now, we may see a number of judges being appointed because they come through the Senate. And right now, we control the Senate. Now, there are two houses, the House of Representatives and the Senate. But a lot of the reason that judge roles have been unfulfilled is because of the two-party system, and one of those parties not wanting anybody in. And, you know, we see what happens with the young lady that had to eat her own words because they were so wrong when she had a ruling on the ex-president's wanting to have a special prosecutor and what have you. That person wasn't qualified to be up there in the first place.
Yes.
But anyway, I do appreciate those comments.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you and I are probably closer to the same age group, but, you know, we grew up thinking that there wasn't a black person west of the Mississippi.
Yes, I've experienced, and Leon and myself, we be talking, us two brothers, we be talking of things that we experienced back in the day, and certainly we experienced working in the plants where they paid the black one thing and the white something else, all of that stuff, and it's probably even happening today where nobody won't say anything. If you know it's not right, we had the opportunity to say something now. If it's, you see something that's not right, say something. It'll keep on happening. Mm-hmm. It keeps on continuously happening because we're not saying anything. So they always look for the weakest link. So you are the weakest link, so you're the one that's really carrying the load, and you're the weakest link.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. But what they would do in many cases in the news, they would go to a scene of an accident and pick out the person that they thought was the dumbest one in the crowd and ask him, as if he were the spokesman for the black people, what he thought. And, you know, we didn't come out always looking real good on that. But let me mention something else while I'm thinking about it. And that is, we have a lot of people that speak Gullah, Geechee, and a number of other languages. And we thought these are people that have butchered up the English language. And I found out in reading this book on Black Founding Fathers that what has happened is most of those people are speaking a different language. They're speaking the African language with English words. And there is a different depth of expectation. And they use negatives in a positive manner. In other words, under English, you can't use a double negative. But they use double and even triple to emphasize points. And this happens because we didn't have the education. We came over here with a language. We came over here with knowledge. We came over here with information. And while I'm not trying to push a particular product, Jack Daniels, head distiller, and the person that taught him how to make liquor was Nearest Green. Nearest Green came from Africa, taught Jack Daniels, but what Jack Daniels did, he had black and white workers, but he paid them the same. And the masteller, which was a black guy, was in charge of the entire distillery. Now, we don't know what happened to Jack Daniels, but Jack Daniels couldn't remember the combination to his safe one day, and he kicked it and broke his foot. And gangrene set in, and he died. But, you know, that's an example where when we have the opportunity to do something, we can do it. Because
yes.
This is not a new invention. And we have other products. Nearest Green, or Uncle Nearest, is Fawn Weaver, a black lady who's taken over the distilling, the original site of Jack Daniel's. We have Delta Dirt, which is a vodka made out of sweet potatoes by a black-owned company in, I think it's Mississippi, Arkansas, somewhere down in there. When we are given the opportunity, and we take the word can't out of our vocabulary, we can, and we will, and we should, and we must.
That is exactly right. And yes, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the word can't. Now, that was something that I was raised up on, and my daddy did not know nothing about what I can't. I don't remember hearing him saying something about, I can't do it. If he see you do it, this man could do it. We did everything. We pulled concrete. We built buildings. We did it all. Everything that you can do, we was working with. We were working for the city of Lyman when we was in high school. His boys were. That's how we built our home. We were working like get off the school bus and go to work for the city of Lyman. Our father had us working all of the time. That was after we come from the cotton fields and all this kind of stuff. That's what Leon and I, we'd be talking about. We were talking the other week, and we were talking about, do you remember when we had a light bill? And said, yeah, a light bill, because that was the only thing in the house was drawing power. It was not a power bill. It was a light bill, because there was nothing else in the house that was pulling power but the light. So what other kind of bill could you call it?
Marshall, I'm gonna ask you something. Check with Leon and see if he'll join us on here sometime.
Okay, all right, I sure will. I sure, and I'm not sure. He may be listening today. If he is, Leon, let us know. He may be listening. Yes, Mr. Abercrombie.
Some of these stories people need to know about.
Yes, well, we have the stories. Yes, sir, we have the stories. And they're going to be doing a live history on us coming the 1st of 2023. Someone is writing our live story.
Okay, make sure that we know about it so we can get word out.
Yes, all right. Certainly we are.
Okay. Any other comments before we close the...
One of the things that we had in that will be in our live story is when Leon first started the school, he was so small, he was 6 years old, and my daddy took him to school, and the principal told him, you take that boy on back to the house. That boy ain't over 6 years old, but he was. So my daddy had to take him on back to the house. My daddy had just bought a new mule, and the mule had a coat with him, a little coat. And we didn't know exactly what day the mule was born on, so we put his birthday with Leon so we'd never forget it on February the 9th. And Leon and that mule was raised up together, and believe it or not, we put some love in that mule's heart. That mule, he just about understood language. He just about understood us, called him and Leon. When Leon didn't have anything else to do, we would play, and we would he would be in the yard like a dog. He was not in the lot unless we just wanted him to go, and when he was in there, he would come up where we could play with him and let him out. And sometimes we'd wake up in the morning, he'd be in the yard right there to the house while we put some love in that mule's heart. He almost weighed a ton, and before he died, he almost weighed a ton. Yes.
Oh,
oh,
now,
man. We have some stories now.
That wasn't Big John, was it?
That was Big John, yes, sir. John, the African-American mule. He ate ice cream. My mother gave him everything. When she had us a party, John ate everything except meat. and let me see what he drank. He drank. Well, at that time we were drinking strawberry sodas. He drank strawberry sodas and Pepsi and lemonade and iced tea. He drank all of that stuff, and we did give him cake, but we didn't give him meat. Yeah, John, the African American mule.
Okay. Well, you check with Leon, and we're gonna have us on, and maybe a couple more people, and show people old time storytelling was like.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have anybody else. Kick in, otherwise we're going to close this. We've got less than 10 minutes left anyway. Anybody else?
What we might do, if you would like to do it, we'll do the storytelling this year, and if we do next year, and if we do, we'll let you put your program, we'll let it go through your program.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
If you think that would work, if you can work it.
Oh, yeah, we can work that.
All right, that'll be fine. So that's what we'll aim for. We'll aim for having it this summer, and you can do your program through there.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate you, as always.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank you. God love you. We love you, too.
And I want all of you listeners to know that I appreciate you to the max. Let's share this so we can get our history out, so
yes,
you can have a chance
yes.
to ask questions. And if there's none other, I want you to know that I love you, that you'll be blessed this week. And join us again next week at same time, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific.
Christmas
be
Day.
Empower yourself. Be knowledgeable. And stand up for what's right. It's been my pleasure. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? And I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
Be blessed.